I want just to ask you to think about a clue for helping us to understand the structure of what goes on in the dialogue next in this fact. What are the circumstances under which an example, in fact, might be helpful? That is, when might an example actually serve the purpose of helping someone to understand the being that the example was meant to illustrate or to capture? Well, if someone, for example, knows how to read the example, if in holding up a pencil I say, look, this is a pencil, and you, understanding how to read the pencil, can see in it what exactly constitute the features that make it be a pencil so that you can investigate those and only those features, then the example might be very helpful. This fact may suggest that what's wrong with definitions, with examples as definitions, with any of the things that are offered by way of helping us to understand the essential nature of something, what's wrong in any particular case may not be something with the definition itself. It may rather be with some way in which the definition is held by those people who were engaged in the enterprise. That is, it may be a fact about or a feature of their ability or inability properly to read either the example or, as we'll see in a moment, the definition in question. Well, Euthyphro follows Socrates' directions and tries to give a more general definitional account of what it is to be holy. And after some difficulty, he allows that the holy is what the gods love or what they approve of. And in response to this, Socrates offers an argument which is meant to suggest that this is not a good definition. Let's take a look at that argument very briefly, but we'll get a sense of how complex Plato's arguments are, and yet of how a careful and patient reading can often reveal what's going on in a way that at first and simply, you know, to read over will leave us in the dark. At the same time, we'll see that understanding an argument and a particular argument is not always the end of the matter in understanding what's going on in a Platonic dialogue. The argument that I'm going to ask you to look at is the argument in this dialogue, in the pages 10a to 11a, the argument by which Socrates tries to show Euthyphro that the definition of the holy as that which the gods approve of or love won't do. And the conclusion of Socrates' argument, the conclusion, which is not always, by the way, at the end of an argument. You might find the conclusion, as in this case, at the beginning or somewhere in the middle of an argument. And you can tell it's the conclusion because it will say things like, and so, dot, 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 and what will then follow will be words like, because, for, since, or the reason for this is that. And so it is in this argument, the conclusion of Socrates' argument comes at 10e, when he says that the divinely approved is not holy, nor the holy divinely approved, and that therefore the definition that we gave early of the holy as what the gods all love is unsatisfactory. And to prove this conclusion, to show that it's correct, Socrates first introduces a distinction between two different modes of being, and this distinction, although it's very clear in Greek, I'm embarrassed to tell you, is hard to express in English. And one of the things I want to try to do is to help you understand the explanation in English. One of these things is the state of being carried, that is, the state that a thing is in when it is a carried thing. And the other is the actual passion of being carried, that is to say, the action by which someone carries something. Passion and action, I hope you understand, are two correlative words like passive and active. The passion is what happens to something. The action is what somebody does to that something. So we have two different notions, really. One is that are being distinguished between. One is the state of being carried, and the other is undergoing the actual passion of being carried. Some translations indicate the distinction by the difference between being carried and getting carried. Well, the distinction in Greek is general for verbs. It's the distinction between having the attribute of being a carried thing. We might think of this as analogous to the fact, say, that Miriam is an employee. That's on the one hand. And on the other hand, undergoing the passion, that is, being the object of the action, of being carried, analogous, in other words, to the fact that Miriam is being employed. And the whole argument hinges upon that distinction between being an employee and being employed.